This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. From Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist, here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Hello, my friend. We meet again.
Yeah, amazing how quickly a week goes.
Isn't it, though? Oh, my gosh.
I turn around and go, wow, it's Wednesday. I got to write some notes, man.
A lot of news happened in between those.
I know.
Good heavens.
Well, welcome to the show, all who are listening. I hope there are thousands of you and that you gain some good information from the subject matter that I have to discuss. And thank you for listening. And if you want to call with a question, 673-4464 is the number, and we'll get you right in here. And like I say, ideas, you want ideas? I got plenty of them. I got way too many ideas. And but, you know, you guys got your questions out there, shoot them my way. And as I drove around Roseburg today, going from one client to another, I was, and I mentioned this, I think, a week or two ago, the rhododendrons are absolutely insanely beautiful this year, and they've bloomed longer this year than any last 10 years, I would say. And it was simply because we had that prolonged rain in April and a little bit in May, and we haven't really had any warm weather. I mean, we had a day or two here and there, and today's kind of warm, and maybe tomorrow, but the flowers are magnificent. I mean, they're purples and pinks and reds and yellows, and I mean, they're just all over. I've never seen so many rhododendrons blooming all at once for so long in Douglas County. You know, I mean, you know, because my eye naturally goes to those kinds of things as I'm driving around. I'm not checking out cars or people. I'm checking out yards, you know. Wow, that's a cool yard. Or that yard really stinks. Why don't they do something with it?
You're not checking out the women walking
out? No, I don't care about them. Jeez Louise. I'd rather look at a rhododendron.
A little more colorful.
I know, and they don't argue with you.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, gosh. Anyway, if you have a question, 673-4464. We'll get you right in here, and you can ask. So, and, you know, if the sun is shining, which it is, kind of cloudy out there, and the temperature, you know, is like in the 75 to 80 degree range, what should you do in your yard?
Ooh.
Don't ignore it, I'll tell you that, because the weeds are growing and everything is going gangbusters. But you might decide a picnic in the park would be a, you know, ideal thing. But I'm sure your yard is calling out to you saying, hey, do something, please, prune me, fertilize me, water me, whatever. So you got to listen closely because the plants, when they speak to you, they're very, very soft. Mm-hmm. So you put your ear right down there, right where the bumblebee is, and then they'll talk to you and say, this is what I need, please give it to me.
Wake up.
Yeah. So think about this. So after you're mowing that high lawn that's been growing gangbusters and doing the edging again, you can fertilize your lawn to keep it healthy and green, of course, and be sure to water after you feed your grass. You know, in other words, don't put that dry fertilizer on and then walk away from it and 3 days later say, oh, maybe I should water it. No, right after you're done fertilizing, give it a good soak, because what that does, it doesn't burn the grass, but what it does, it releases and melts the particles of fertilizer so that it's active and actually getting down into the grass so they are fed and as a consequence are healthy. So don't don't be so cavalier about fertilizing, but just get on it and do it. You will see the results in no time at all, because regular feeding, you know, is the best way to keep that lawn green and healthy. That's, you know, that's the way it is. Like you eat two or three meals a day, and you make your vegetables and your whatever and some chicken and some top sirloin, whatever. But
a little sugar.
Yeah, a little sugar, cream, and coffee. But you eat on a regular basis, and you maintain your good health that way. Well, plants, believe it or not, need regular feeding and on a schedule, and they don't eat all at once like we do. They take several weeks or a month to grab that nutrition that comes down into that root system and begin to put it into the new growth of lawns or trees or shrubs or what have you. So, but you don't want to be stingy, and you don't want to overdo it. And I've said that, you know, probably 10,000 times on this show.
Don't overwater.
Don't you overwater. I know when you're overwatering. You drive by at 50 miles an hour and say, that person is overwatering, I can tell. But a healthy lawn, of course, has less weed growth because there is no room for them to grow because the grass is so vigorous, and the grass is the ultimate king in that lawn. I mean, the weed might try, but the grass, if it's fed and well taken care of and mowed at a proper height, and I've talked about, you know, scalping your lawn, how bad that is, and but if you keep it a little long and a little shaggy, and when you cut it, you just cut it lightly, the weeds really have a hard time becoming established because they like bare, you know, burnt, ugly ground where there's no grass growing, and they pop up. So when you think you're saving your lawn or saving your time by scalping your lawn right down to the quarter inch when you mow, you're asking for a lot of problems. So don't create your own lawn problems.
Got enough.
Yeah, you got enough as it is. You don't need to add like that. So, you know, the weeds play that game. They're looking for a place to grow. You can't blame them. They grow in sidewalks if you don't have them room in your lawn. They'll grow in your driveway, no problem. They might even grow on your porch, for crying out loud. But the weeds can't grow because the lawn is too thick. It's too full. It's too lush. It's taking all the nutrition. It's taking all the water. It's taking all the sunshine, too, and because they're like, those weeds like the bare spots in weak lawns to get growing. So let's say if you have a weak lawn, there are some solutions. And again, this is repetitious, but you know, sometimes you got to say it over and over and over again before finally dawns on somebody. Goes, yeah, maybe I ought to try what he said. It might work. It might be better for my lawn.
There you go.
But if you got some weeds in there and it's a weak lawn, you can try weed and feed method. That's okay. It's not a surefire method, but with proper application, it's going to kill a majority of the weeds and feed the lawn at the same time. But again, you don't want to overdo it with that stuff either, because you know it's got that weed killer formula in there. So, but you know, digging and pulling the weeds is good for any teenager wanting some cash. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And there's not too many of those around, however, anymore. But it is. The most effective method I found is to thatch, to aerate, and to fertilize. And this will give you, your lawn, the best treatment for weed control, lush growth, and very, very quickly, quick response. And it's not a no guarantee of weeds, but it will put a real dent in their regrowth.
Nice.
And that's what you want to do. You never can get rid of a weed, especially in Douglas County. Maybe in Palm Springs you can, because there's not many natural weeds except sagebrush, maybe. You know? But here,
they love us.
Yeah, this is the perfect climate for everything that grows. You know, I think I got a client out here in Garden Valley, out there, away by the Callahans. Yeah. His neighbor's got three huge banana trees.
Good.
Three.
Lord.
I mean, they're probably 15, 18 feet tall.
And they produce?
Yes, they actually produce little, they're small bananas. They're not like what you buy at Freddy's, but they're small bananas. And I asked my buddy, I said, have you eaten any? He says, no, they don't really, they're green. They don't yellow up because, you know, we don't have the long
warm season.
Ripening season for a banana, because they are a tropical fruit, and it's a little bit warmer in the tropics.
Birds probably love it.
Oh, yeah, the birds do. Yeah, exactly. But and here's I'll get back to lawns here. Forget the banana trees.
We're getting out in the weeds.
Yeah,
again.
I'm getting out in the weeds. I need some weed and feed. Oh gosh. But another lawn problem may occur as the weather continues to warm up, and grubs. And I've spoken about grubs.
Nasty.
And they live on the grass roots. That's what they eat. And if not treated, can kill your entire lawn. And if you start to see like a small brown spot or spots in your lawn here and there, dig down. Well, you don't have to dig down too far in the brown spot or on the edge of the brown where the brown turns to green.
Yeah.
Dig in there, say, yeah, four inches, maybe five, and take out a clod of soil. And if you have a grub problem, you will see them. And
they're nasty little things.
Oh, yeah. And they're segmented, and they're maybe, oh, gosh, maybe 3/4 of an inch long, and they're just creepy-looking things,
yeah.
You know?
And they don't deserve to be gone.
No, they don't. Absolutely not. And they're, you know, like I said, grayish, tannish. You know, they look sick. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they're not an earthworm, okay? Earthworms are good. Don't want to kill the earthworms. But the best treatment is to treat the entire lawn with grub control. And there's it's available at the co-op or Coastal or, you know, one of the farm stores or even a hardware store. They'll have some of that. And soon after you apply this, you'll see the grubs leaving your lawn. And they'll be sick looking. There was a... there was a lawn we did for a client up in, out on Harvard out there, and he wanted a brand new sod lawn. And we went in there and we tilled it all up and did all the ingredients, and it was gorgeous. And it wasn't very large, maybe 1,000 square feet, something like that. And we brought in the sod, and it was spring, and it was gorgeous. We laid it, and bingo, looks good. And he's watering properly. Very, very tuned-in gardener-type guy, mm-hmm. and his wife both. They take good care of their yard. And that was like, say, April. Well, in July, he called me. He said, there's something wrong with my lawn, man. It's turning brown.
Uh-oh.
I says, oh, no. Uh-oh. So I drove up there, took a look at it, and about a third of it was brown. A third, 300, 400 square feet was brown. I thought, what in the world?
Yeah.
I says, what are you doing? How are you doing? I'm doing this, this, and this. He was doing everything correctly. Everything was right. So I dug a little couple of test holes, grubs, stinking grubs everywhere.
Ugh.
So I ran down and got the grub stuff, came back and, you know, pumped it on there a little bit strongly. And I said, well, here, we'll see what happens here. He calls me, I don't know, 2 days later. Oh, you got to come over here. I says, why? He says, they're crawling out of the lawn and across my driveway. It looks like an oil slick. There's so many of them.
Oh, no.
And it was. The grub trail was probably 2 feet wide and just black where he'd been driving in and out of the driveway. So he was crushing them all. And then I started, and he has a concrete edge all the way around the lawn.
Yeah.
And I started looking really closely, and you could see them crawling out of the lawn up under the concrete. And, you know, they're sick. They're on their way out, but they got to get away from what's hit them.
What's killing
now.
Them. Yeah. Yeah.
And so I said, well, you know, I never suspected that would happen. I mean, that's one in, you know, say out of 50 lawns we installed that happened.
Oh.
And it must just have been the perfect timing or what?
They normally just die where they're at?
Well, no, they normally kill your lawn and then move on to your neighbors.
Oh.
But they turn into beetles. They turn into beetles later.
Oh.
And then the beetles... That, you know, the grubs that survive are beetles, and they fly around in your yard and eat your shrubs and trees and do that devastation thing.
Yeah.
Then about sometime in the fall, I'm not quite sure, fall is different in different parts of the country, they go back to the lawn and they lay their eggs and hatch another group of grubs.
Recycle.
Yeah, they're into recycling big time.
Oh.
You know, they like that. Do we have a break?
We do.
Okay, well, I'll be back, trust me.
Oh, that's a good time. We'll be back on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN with more of Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
We have too much fun during the break.
I know. You don't want to listen to us at all.
Oh, we passed the grubs?
No, we're not. I got more grub stuff to talk. You know, everybody loves grubs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, everybody should have a pair of grubs just to run around the house.
Yeah. Train them.
Yeah, train them and make them jump through hoops and stuff like that. But here's the kicker. In the fall, you know, that's when those little grubs are small. The eggs have been laid and they're coming out, and it's fall time now, and they're small and they're near the soil surface, you know, within a few inches, and they are hungry.
Uh-oh.
And that's when they do the most severe damage. But here's the problem. You don't see the evidence of the damage until the following spring, when new growth should be pushing. And all of a sudden, there are brown spots in your lawn in April, and you're going, or May, and you're going, what the? Yeah, I mean, we're still in spring. It should be green.
Yeah.
Well, those little suckers been eating all the roots over the winter, keeping alive and getting strong, trying to grow up to be beetles. And so, the conclusion I came from a lot of my research, I mean, when you have an immediate problem, you got to take care of it right off the bat.
Right.
But if you even suspect anything like that's going to happen, treat your lawn with the grub control in the fall when they're small, when they're very hungry,
mm-hmm.
and that stuff gets down to them, and bingo, you wipe out that whole generation.
Nice.
Yeah, and they don't turn into beetles, and they don't come back and lay more eggs.
They don't do the recycle thing.
No, they're not into that recycle. So it's just a way to keep ahead of the grubs. And the fall is good. You're not mowing as much. You're not watering usually as much, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can just watch for brown spots. And if they start to show, I wouldn't even wait for the brown spots. I would on a... If I had a real lawn, I got grass at my place, and I don't call it a lawn. It's green, and I mow it and all that, and it's good enough. I'm on the boondocks. Nobody sees me. But remember, the healthy lawn is a good defense against all insects, and a healthy lawn can protect itself, actually, from insect damage, and it does a better job against weeds and diseases as well.
Nice.
So if it's healthy, it's strong, it's vigorous, yeah. It's, you know, resilient.
It can defend itself.
Exactly. I don't know how it does it. I don't know if they have guns or knives or what, but they defend themselves.
They have military.
And the bugs can't take a hold.
Nice.
as easily. But that means, you know, prior to that, it has had, you know, good watering, good fertilizing on a schedule, good mowing, you know, good mowing technique, et cetera. And so if it's healthy going in, it has the wherewithal to fight off more of those insect-type diseases or the grub diseases that come along.
Oh.
It's not a cure-all. It's right. Not 100%, but it sure helps.
Those grubs, as you describe them, remind me of cockroaches for some reason.
No, they're a worm. They're a worm-looking thing,
ugly thing,
but they're a segmented worm, you know. Little, and they're only, like I say, 3/4 of an inch long.
Oh, they're a lot smaller.
Yeah. Now, when they turn into a beetle, they get bigger, you know, and they grow into beetle size, and they fly around, and they got a little sign on their chest, I'm a grub beetle.
So, I'm a cousin to the cockroach.
Yeah. That'd make a good country western tune.
Oh, let's see if I can find one.
Okay. Okay, well, anyhow, that's how you have a healthy lawn, and that's how you keep it healthy. You spend a few bucks, but if you're going to have a lawn, why not make it, you know, look good and be healthy? Otherwise, you know, it's just grass that you mow, like at my place. Mine is healthy, and I don't do anything to it. I fertilized it 2 years ago, I think, and because it's pretty big, and it takes me, 100 pounds of fertilizer to fertilize it, and I do it usually in the fall or early spring, but then it grows way too stinking fast, and I got to mow every other day, it seems, and I don't have the time to mow every other day.
My dad would use the cow manure for the fertilizer on the lawn.
Well, and that works, but it's not, let's say you have some real good nutritious food, and which keeps you strong, healthy, going, et cetera, versus French fries. You know, I mean, French fries will keep you alive, but it may not prevent disease.
It's not all that good for you.
Yeah, exactly. A steady diet of French fries, crispy or soft. I mean,
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. I mean, it's good. It tastes good. I love French fries. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, I do too. I love them.
Yeah, I've loved them since my Lithuanian grandma used to cook them for me when I was 4 years old.
Yeah. Know?
Oh, grandma, French fries? Okay, honey. She was a great lady. I loved her. But like any other living thing, preventive maintenance is the best for good health, period, bottom line. Proper food, proper mowing, proper watering for lawns, and a healthy diet and exercise for people. So, hey, you know, think about that.
It goes hand in hand.
Hand in hand. And you can get your exercise by mowing.
There you go.
You can get your exercise by getting on your hands and knees and pulling that occasional weed. I mean, there's some good things associated with all of that.
Then you're sore. Never mind.
Yeah. Now, the Japanese beetles that I was talking about earlier are the adult form of these white grubs, obviously.
Oh, okay.
And they first arrived here, and I don't know how they...
China?
No, Japanese.
Oh.
Japanese beetles. And they first arrived here, they said, in 1910, according to my research. Now, how in the world, I don't know how they...
Calculate that.
Yeah, calculate that. That's right. But they did it by stowing away in the cargo holds of a shipment of nursery plants from Asia to the East Coast.
Ugh.
Yeah. And somehow, after establishing themselves on the East Coast, they began moving westward.
Sure they did.
There were no grubs that anybody spoke about or wrote about until they appeared from Japan. And then it took them the next, 90 years or 80 years or 70 years to go across the nation, for crying out loud.
Hitching a ride.
Now, that's an assumption of mine because, you know, how else did they get here? You know, they may have gotten here on plant shipments, too.
On the West Coast.
On the West Coast. But they inhabited that East Coast stuff. They got right in there, I think. No, I won't say anything about Washington, D.C.
No, that's probably where they were headed.
They probably were. So, but now they're common everywhere, you know, up and down the coast. I mean, in hotter places, let's say Southern California or the desert, I don't believe that they're such a problem. They probably have their own insects that try to destroy their lawns, but I don't know that the grubs. I read and looked up. It didn't mention the hotter regions. Our perfect climate here is what they like.
They love this.
Yeah, they love this.
The cooler climate.
Yeah, we love. Hey, man, this is good. A little bit of rain, a little bit of sun, a little bit of fog. We're okay.
Just right.
Yeah, but. Anyway, as I said before, proper watering, fertilizing will prevent many insect and disease problems. That's all there is to it. If you eat well, you exercise and do all the things that, even to a minimum, you're going to be healthier than not.
Right.
You know, if you're a couch potato and you like a lot of barbecued chips and
French fries,
you know, like me and Dale here, but you don't do anything, your health goes on a downward spiral. Mm-hmm. That's all there is to it.
It leads to all kinds of diseases.
Exactly. So think about that in human terms. When you're looking at your lawn, look at that, all those grass blades as little people, little green people. Yeah. we got to feed them and take care of them, you know? Yeah. Oh, geez, Louise.
Yeah, I knew this one since it was born.
Yeah. since he was born. Geez. I don't know about you. Oh, gosh. But and it's not just the grubs; it's any of those insects, any of those disease
There's
problems.
There's more of those gross things.
Pardon me.
There's more gross insects that can eat you.
Oh
mouth.
Yes! Oh yes!
Oh
yes.
Yeah!
There's thousands and thousands of them.
Ugh.
Yeah, I mean, but like I say, the preventive maintenance thing is going to keep it to a minimum, and. You know, what you do, let's say you're out in a real estate market or you want to sell your home, you got a nice lawn out there.
Mm-hmm.
People that see it in the real estate industry say, hey, when somebody drives up to a home for sale and it has this beautiful green lawn and nice landscaping out front, they're more apt to buy or be super interested because they think, well, if he takes that good care of his yard, the rest of the house must be, you know, in good
tip-top shape.
Exactly. Yeah. And so That's a good incentive right there if you have a potential sale going on. However, if your lawn has got brown spots and dead spots and things, and somebody does a drive-by and says, well, it's for sale, but look at the yard, man. I don't even want to go in there, you know, that kind of thing.
Looks like the homeless camped here.
It could be.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean that.
Oh, yes, you did. So bottom line is we've got the best climate for every bug, disease, and thing that we get to fight all the time.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah, I knew you would be pleased with that. So, again, what is proper care and maintenance for any lawn? Very simple. First thing, not to cut your grass too short. How many times have I said that? I mean, I'm seeing it right now in the spring. People are cutting their lawns, you know, way down.
As many times as you've said not to, they're still doing it?
Yes, they're not listening.
No.
I don't know. I'm going to start giving them fines and tickets. I'm going to just
get a blowhorn and say it.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the, quit mowing your lawn so short, dummy.
Yeah.
I hope they think it's a joke. But, you know, scalping the grass, in other words, cutting as low as that mower will go. You know, what it does, it invites weed growth to go. I mean, because weeds love bare spots. If they don't have to compete with the lawn, man, they pop up like grubs, for crying out loud.
Easy pickings.
Yeah. And then when you cut it that low and that bad, it stresses the grass, especially in hot weather. Scalped lawns promote any kind of weed growth. It doesn't matter. And like I say, mow your lawn at a high level, minimum 2 inches, okay? That's a minimum. Don't go any lower than 2 inches. 3 inches is even better. It's kind of, if you mow it and it's long, it still looks neat and clean. And yeah, you may have to mow it a little more often, but hey, if you're going to invest the time and
That's the effort, right.
And the money into having a lawn at your home, then take care of it.
Yeah.
You don't buy a brand new Jaguar and drive it around on logging roads.
And take it hunting.
Yeah, and take it hunting and wear your cork boots in it.
Yeah.
You take care of it, man.
That's right.
You know, that's how it goes. Well, think about that in your lawn, your shrubs, et cetera, et cetera. So, and like I say, you're mowing your lawn at a high level. Again, you know, minimum 2 inches, probably 3 would be better. It stays greener. It stays fuller. There's less weeds, and also you'll be watering less.
Yay!
Because the soil surface, if the grass is say 3 inches long, and you water, well, that water is shaded by the grass, so consequently it doesn't just dry up and blow away in the wind. It stays there for a while.
And we're in extreme drought.
Yeah, well, that's what Gov says, doesn't she? So,
we have a break.
Okay, we'll take a break.
We'll be right back.
I got more funny stuff to come. Don't worry.
All right. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Oh, good afternoon once again. What is it, about 81 degrees, it says?
81? Not in here, it ain't.
No, it is 74 in here.
Yeah, I like this one. This is good. This is good. Hey, if you have a question on any of that stuff that I've been talking about for the last half an hour, 673-4464, if you want to agree, disagree, or tell me another method, hey, I'm all ears, and I won't yell at you, honest, for real life.
But if he does, I'll turn his mic off.
Yeah, he'll turn, man, and then I'll slam the door and walk out and go home, for crying out loud. Oh, gosh. Well, you know, I'm just talking about lawns and how to keep them healthy.
Yeah.
And, you know, drive around, take a look, and see. You can already see some lawns that look like, oh, my gosh, why didn't they fertilize that? Or why didn't they do this? Or why don't they mow it? Or, you know, but and look look what that does to the overall looking of the front yard of the house itself. And it's an important thing. If you're going to be a homeowner and you're going to have a lawn, make it nice. Yeah. It's like if you have a nice car, mm-hmm. you wash it, you take care of it, you baby it.
You wax it.
You do all the ingredients and you put the labor into it because, you know, it's going to be still valuable to you
mm-hmm.
and works. But when you mow, and I was talking about too short, mowing too short in the last segment, but when you mow too short, the lawn gets burnt, obviously.
Yep.
But then a person pumps a lot of water to uh-huh. green it up again. I mean, they're just pumping the water to it every day. I've seen it.
I know. And I grew up with it.
Yeah, your dad was a rascal. But they pump it in there because they want to green it back up again because now it's brown or yellow or ugly.
It's a mud.
Yeah. So why in the world did you mow it so short in the first place? And you wouldn't have that situation.
Yep.
But see, the thing, what happens when you pump that much water into it and the grass starts to grow rapidly but it's not as green, it's not as full, it's a little sparse, and then you go out there in 2 weeks and mow it again just as short, and you kind of got to start the process all over again.
Yep.
Think about the long-term care. Always, you know, it's better that it's too long. It's better, it's healthier if it's too long. If it's too long and green, you know it's a healthy lawn.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing at that point attacking it.
Anything long would drive my dad nuts.
Yeah.
Long hair, long whatever.
Yeah, toenails. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anything long, he didn't like it.
Yeah. But more water isn't needed when the grass is taller. In other words, you let the grass grow taller.
Yeah.
Let's say on a scalp lawn, you're watering an hour every other day. Well, if the grass is taller and greener, you only have to water maybe an hour a week to maintain that. So you're saving, I don't know how much water cost per gallon nowadays, because I live on a spring, so I don't worry about it. But you know, so the more you water, the higher your water bill goes up, and you know, all the other stuff that goes along with it. So
why is that? Is that because it can hold the moisture? The taller it is.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it holds that moisture, and because it's makes shading,
sense,
it's actually shading the bare ground. So if it's a hot sunny day, the ground where the blade of grass enters into the soil is cooler.
Mm-hmm.
It's damper.
Okay.
It's okay. Yep. Whereas you look at one that's been scalped and is down to the nitty gritty, you touch that soil, it's warm.
Yep.
And it's dry.
Yep.
And even after you pumped a whole bunch of water to it,
it doesn't absorb it.
Exactly. It doesn't.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing to absorb. There's no blades of grass that will actually suck up the water.
Now I understand.
Hey, finally. Finally, after 19 and a half years, you got it.
Oh, that's about what it was.
Oh, golly. But, you know, depending on your soil, the type of soil you have and any slope you might have, you might be watering twice a week in the summer for at least, say, 30 to 45 minutes in the hottest parts of the summertime.
Yeah.
And that is quite enough. And also, you're not watering in the heat of day because half of it's being evaporated immediately into the air. It doesn't even hit the ground, for crying out loud. So it doesn't reach the grass. So, you know, half of your 50% of your water bill is gone up into the atmosphere. You know, but you're still paying for it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So early morning, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning in the summer, good time to water. Or after the sun goes down in the evening, good time of water. And it may still be warm, but the sun's not shining on it.
Right.
There's more water being absorbed into the grass. See, the grass blade will actually absorb water as well as the ground.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, like if you water a shrub, for instance, and if you water it in full sun, most of that water is not penetrating the leaf.
Mm-hmm.
But if you water when it's in the shade, a lot of that water is penetrating the leaf as well as the ground.
I have noticed that.
Yeah.
I wondered about that.
Yeah. Well, now you know for sure.
Yeah.
Huh? Okay.
I wonder if my dad ever wondered about that.
Well, not according to what you've been telling
me. Apparently not.
And then you got your a good fertilizing schedule is extremely important. Buy a top grade lawn food, feed your grass spring, summer, and fall per the directions. And too much fertilizer is going to do the damage. So you want to just kind of a little bit, and just don't exceed. If it says, 5 pounds per 1,000 square feet, well, don't say, well, I'm going to double it up. I won't have to do it again, because that's going to do more damage. That's going to do more damage than good. You know, think about a starving person here. You don't feed them steak and potatoes if they're starving. You know, you give them a little bit of, milk or soft bread. Start out slow. Exactly. You don't stuff a T-bone down their throat because they can't handle it.
You know what I'm chuckling about?
Yeah. I don't know, and I don't want to know.
Oh, Dad would just go full bore on it.
Yeah. And most people, not most people, a lot of people do simply because they don't have the knowledge. They don't know how the grass grows. They don't know what the requirements should be water-wise or fertilizer-wise or grub-wise or any of that.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot to it. I just didn't pick this up in a magazine overnight. For years, I made mistakes in my early years as a landscape contractor.
Right. Yeah. That's how you learn.
Yeah, trying to figure things out. And then, asking other landscapers or grass seed folks that actually grow grass in the Willamette Valley, I'm doing this, and this, but I'm having these problems. And so they ask me questions and say, well, how are you doing this or how are you doing that? And I tell them, I say, well, you don't want to do that. You want to do this. And slightly correct. Don't be afraid to ask questions. That's how you learn, for crying out loud. And that's how you spend less money in the long run.
True.
That's the deal. You don't want to have to spend a fortune just to keep your grass green.
You learn by your mistakes, as they say.
Right. So a little portion of that fertilizer goes a long way, and you can increase the amount, and you can increase the frequency if you're not seeing the results that you're expecting. Yeah. But when you increase the amount and the frequency, don't try to do a mega jump there. Just a little bit more, bit more often, until you see how the grass reacts.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see it coming on strong, you remember, well, this is what I did, this is how much I put on.
Yeah.
And then watch the cycle. After 30 days, is it still looking good? Or in 30 days, is it looking a little dull?
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't look shiny green like it did, 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's looking green, but not that bright, shiny green.
Yeah.
So you can calculate, I gotta do this more often and on a more regular basis, and bingo. Then once you learn, because every yard is different.
Oh,
every
okay.
yard is different. The soil is different. I don't care if you're in a subdivision. The soil is different from, the first house on the block to the last house on the block.
Mm.
Because when they did the initial earthwork, who knows what kind of soil it was under there, and they pushed it out of the way and compacted it. And, there's a whole host of problems that were probably done, but nobody saw because, it was nice and smooth dirt. So you figure
nobody
it's good.
Knew where it came from.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, but by watching what you're doing and seeing what the net result is, then you get the idea. Then you get the rhythm of the feeding and the watering and the mowing. It's really that simple. But you got to pay attention to your product. You got to pay attention.
Yep.
I mean, you look at it in April. April is a real good month. May is a real good month. But then as you get into June and you get the hotter days, you're going to notice some changes. And then by July and August, if you're not on a good schedule, you're really going to see some changes. And then you're going to try to do the catch-up deal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, don't even bother doing it. You're wasting your time and money. Wait till the heat gets over and then try to revitalize everything. As you get into, September. September, we get cooler nights
right.
and occasional rain, that kind of thing. Then that's a good time to rehab. When you're trying to do it in 95 degrees plus, It you're doing a lot of sweat labor for no real results.
And nobody wants to do that.
No, they don't want to do that, for goodness sakes. I don't, but we do anyway, because people call us up and say, hey, I need my lawn done. Please help me. We got a break here?
Yep, one final break for this
hour. Okay, we're on it.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we're back with Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, and we have a caller waiting. Hey, good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike.
Yeah, hi, Mike. Hey, this is Mary, and I have a question about daffodil bulbs and tulip bulbs. Now, I planted them in little planters. Do I need to pull them out for the winter, or can I just leave them in, or what do I do to take care of them for winter?
So how big are the pots that you have them in?
It's pretty wide, round, my 14 feet around, not 14 feet, about two feet around.
Well, you can leave them in and if you want, or, you know, whatever you want to do. If you want to pull them out and plant them in some other location, you can. But, you know, in a pot that size, they'll just multiply and get better next year, and you're not disturbing them, so the root systems are better, and they'll have better flowers for you.
Okay, so you don't have to really dig them up?
Nope.
What about the tops? Do I have to clip them off or anything?
Yeah, just let it die natural. Let it die down natural, and when it's kind of yellow and brown and you know, looks like it's lost all its vitality, then you can take some shears and just, you know, just snip them.
Snip them. Oh, okay. Yeah. I just wanted to know so I don't have to take them all out?
No.
Leave as is?
No.
Hey, well, thank you very much.
Now, one caveat to that. Now, when the pot, if you leave them in for several years and the pot gets too full of bulbs, then you're going to have to pull some of them out, you know, because they multiply. And
So thank you.
You start out with one, then you got seven, and then you got 14, and you go, whoa, the pot's not big enough, what do I do? Well, you can eliminate 50% of them right off the bat and plant them in other containers or in your yard.
Oh, all right, well, thank you for the information.
Well, thank you for the call, I appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Yeah. So I'm boring you to death with lawns. Okay, I mean, that's the way it is. You tune in, you got to listen, right? Oh gosh!
No, it brings me back down memory lane. Actually,
well, see, you know, that's good for you. Oh gosh! Now here's a thing that I haven't talked about grass. When grass browns up in the heat of the summer, it's not dead, so don't panic. It's not completely dead. It goes dormant, and like a tree or a shrub in the winter goes dormant. Well, grass goes dormant at the end of the summer, let's say, when it's so hot and you know, maybe you skipped a few waterings and it's dry. Well, it goes dormant, but those roots, there's still life in those roots, and as soon as it starts raining, They'll come back to life.
Spring up.
Yeah, they spring up. That's good. Good. Catch your words there, buddy. So you get some cool, wet days, and bingo, it's back. All right. And that's when you fertilize it. Don't fertilize it when it's brown and dead. Leave it alone. Because that's how my yard is. You know, I'm my country yard, my country lawn. About August 15th, it looks pretty... pretty ugly, but then there's a few weeds and daffodils and not daffodils, buttercups and stuff like that growing through it. And I mow it, and at that time keep it short because I don't scalp it, but I keep it short because I'm only mowing maybe once a month because it doesn't get watered. It doesn't get anything out of time of year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm used to it. But
yeah.
Bingo, as soon as, say the mid-September, 1st of October, you get a couple of good drenching rains and it's greening up already.
Back to life.
It doesn't grow very fast, but it does green up.
Yeah.
And then the wetter it gets, the greener it stays. And right now my lawn is green. In fact, I mowed it, a week and a half ago. It needs another mowing. And I don't mow it too short. And I don't even pick up all the grass clippings. I just let them mulch in to my yard.
Mm-hmm.
And so far it does good. I wouldn't do that if I lived in Hillcrest or if I lived, you know, in a neighborhood. I would be more tidy with my mowing.
I would pick up
the clippings.
I would,
you know, do that kind of thing. But you know, when you live in a canyon and you can't
Who
see
cares?
You can't see your nearest neighbor and nobody goes by, what difference does it make? It's
you gotta
green.
You got to love that.
It's green to me, baby.
Yeah.
But you know, when it's right now, like I said, it's lush, it's green, it's growing, and it'll, you know, come mid-August, it's going to be kind of brownish, and there'll be a little bit of green air, but it's going into its own dormancy.
Mm.
And when it goes into its own dormancy, what it does is just shutting down so it can survive through the hot, dry spell and come back when the conditions are ripe. And
yep.
That's how it is. It just greens up. So my lawn stays green about 9 months a year without a whole bunch of, it's a combination of a lot of different grasses because, I mean, I started out with nice, nice grass when I first did it, but over the years with my kids riding bikes and
yeah.
and wagons and digging holes and
yeah.
doing all kinds
yeah.
of stuff in my yard, it's not what you call the smoothest, most level, no. wonderful lawn that you would find in Hillcrest or some other neighborhood. And besides that, I don't have enough water in August to water anything anyway, because I, you know, my yeah. house water is from a spring,
mm-hmm.
well, actually from about five springs, but it that's what we have, and our creek doesn't dry up, but it doesn't run a lot, and mm-hmm. there are potholes of water, and I have irrigated out of them, but for trees, not for the grass. I don't care about the grass. I care about the trees.
You know? Grass will come back.
Yeah, the grass come back. When a tree turns brown, it don't usually come back.
Sayonara.
I know. Bye. And we also have some, you know, rhodies and azaleas and Japanese maples. I got lots of Japanese maples and lots of tough perennials. My wife loves perennials, so we got them all over the place. And how much time we got?
About 10 seconds.
10 seconds is all. Okay. I hope you learned something. I did, because when I do research, I want to find out all the new stuff that I can. And I want to thank you for listening and see you next week.
Do you ever Google anything?
Who?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Where are you located in Winston, Mike?
We're about a half mile south of Winston on Highway 99. Look for the green roofs. And that's us. We're the second nursery on the left as you're headed south.
All righty. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.